AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. Weather volatility. Man, it seems to be ramping up again here at the end of the growing season. We'll find out if we are into a pattern change. And after a week of crop scouting, it's time to get up to speed with what's happening in D.C. that could influence your business in the weeks ahead.
Live from the new normal's return in the post-crop tour old new normal via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk.
There he is.
This morning we begin with a conversation with Michael Clark from BAMWX. Then we'll take a deep dive in the stuff we need to know on the policy side from Pro Farmer Washington OG Jim Wiesmeyer. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis. Yeah, there is no old normal, new normal. It's just here we are. Let's get her going, baby. Let's get this thing rolling, man. What do you think?
This isn't the post-crop tour old new normal?
I don't.
Via Farm Journal broadcast?
I'm not exactly sure how to, like, put that old new normal on the timeline. I mean, it's a little confusing, and it might take an abacus.
Well, you know, I did mention that there were abacuses involved in the Pro Farmer crop tour final numbers. And
doggone
it, you need that sort of, you know, because it's a boots-on-the-ground approach, and so why not put your hands on the actual beans as well when you're counting the beans. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Accountants get this. They get this.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Man, oh, man. You know, there's something about being out on the road on crop tour and being around all the scouts and spending a week with my daughter, Emily, as we collect all the data. But there's also something really kind of nice about the bunker and getting back in here.
Oh yeah.
Especially after getting an inch and a half of unexpected rain. Mm-hmm. Fantastic rain overnight, dude.
Yes, it was great. I heard some thunder. There was that wonderful patter on the windows, you know.
Yep.
Good. It was really a good thing.
You bet
it
was.
We're in a good spot here. I think we feel pretty good this morning. Fair statement?
Why not?
You know?
Why shouldn't we? That's the question that we really need to ask ourselves. If we're not feeling good, why shouldn't we?
Thank you for
Why
that.
Shouldn't we? So you know right. what? Which reminds me of something. Reminds me of something right now that I wanted to get to, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more at the end of the show.
Okay, I'll get
but
out my pen.
Guys, everyone that's going to be involved in the harvest season that's coming up, it's going to be here before you know it. I'm not calling for an early harvest in all locations. Some places it will be. But now is the time to work on getting your head right, your body right, everything.
Yeah.
Now is the time. I made a note a year ago in my calendar to pop up week after crop tour to remind people and to encourage people that this is the time to get right.
Yes. Good.
Whatever it takes.
Good.
Yep.
Can I throw out a little catchphrase or something to stick in people's minds? This is
Please.
Something that I say all the time. Don't stick your hand in there.
that's exactly right.
Just leave it at that.
Right. Yeah. And this is the time of the year. There was a terrible accident over in Illinois again. Another ag leader, another young father, lost in a grain bin accident. If it wasn't over the weekend, it was at the very end of last week. Sad situation over there when you're cleaning out the bins. You've got to be so careful. My gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I said, just a terrible incident over there. And boy, what happened down in Tennessee over the weekend with 17 inches of rain in a very short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll find out from Michael coming up here in just a minute how that happened. All right,
right,
Davis, let's get to the news. What you got?
Well, I'm actually going to kind of begin there, sort of. Tropical Storm Henry battered the U.S. northeast on Sunday, bringing thick bands of heavy rain, flash flooding, and powerful winds. But it was not as severe as some had expected. The storm knocked out power to 100,000 customers in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island at one point Sunday afternoon. President Biden said he has approved emergency declarations for Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Separately, flash flooding killed at least 22 people in rural Tennessee and at least 5 in North Carolina. In other news, President Biden promised to evacuate every American who wants to leave Afghanistan and said he would seek to extract Afghan allies, but he cautioned that the mission is dangerous and did not rule out losses following days of chaos at Kabul's international airport. The U.S. warns that Afghanistan's Islamic State branch could attempt an attack to hurt Americans and damage the Taliban's sense of control. House members return to Congress today, and the key issue is timing of two big Democratic priorities, including the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill and Democrats' $3.5 trillion budget resolution. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is being pulled in different directions. 9 moderate Democrats are calling on her and House leadership to prioritize the bipartisan infrastructure bill, while far-left Democrats are worried that social issues like child care and parental leave will be forgotten if the budget plan is not pursued in tandem with the infrastructure agreement. Those 9 maverick Democrats wrote in an op-ed that showed up late Sunday in the Washington Post, quote, "Time kills deals." Reports by Bloomberg and Reuters late Friday indicate that EPA is ready to send forward to the Office of Management and Budget a review of their proposed levels under the renewable fuel standard for 21 and 22. Reportedly, the rule will arrive by today. It is thought possible that levels EPA is proposing could be lower for 2021 and biofuels, 2021 biofuels than the levels that were finalized for 2020. However, the report also indicated that some lawmakers were advised the totals could be nearly unchanged. Yeah. Biofuel industry officials argue that lowering those targets would conflict with goals when Congress established the RFS blending for to increase each year. Chip?
Yeah, and guys, the numbers are going over to the OMB. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this with Wiesmeyer here at the bottom of the hour, but these are proposed rules. They're not even the final rules. These were put on hold with the transition of the administration for 2021. And as there's some real conflicting signals coming from the White House and the administration right now on what this is going to lead to, but as I understand things right now, it looks pretty good for the 2022 RVOs. I think there's going to be some positive news there.
Well, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has told senior White House advisors that she supports reappointing Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chair. This according to Bloomberg, citing people familiar with the matter. That's a move the news outlet says greatly increases his chance for a second term. President Biden likely to make his choice around Labor Day, the report added. And finally, Chip, China has searched the globe for natural resources. Now it just needs to look next door to Afghanistan. A decade-old U.S. government report estimated a $1 trillion-plus mother load of valuable metals and stones beneath Afghan soil. China is already wooing the Taliban. You want to talk
can
about
rare earths?
Huh? Yeah,
Can you imagine if the influence of China just latches on to the Taliban? You look at what has been happening. You might have the province name with the
Xinjiang.
Xinjiang. Well, look at what's happening in Xinjiang, the way that they are treating some of the Muslims there. If they latch into Afghanistan and start to exert some of their influence, this could get nasty and ugly in a hurry. Okay, we're going to be talking weather next. We've got Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Farm Journal and the National FFA Foundation present the second annual Farm On Benefit Concert. Featuring country music star Easton Corbin, the concert will air on Monday, September 20 at 7 Central on RFD-TV. And your FFAer can be part of it. Just text a picture of them in their blue jacket with the words Farm On to 31313 or use the Farm On hashtag on social media. Join us for the hashtag Farm On Benefit Concert September 20 at 7 p.m. on RFD-TV.
Machine Repeat here, folks. This segment of AgriTalk brought to you by our friends at Dakota Ag Innovations, makers of Dakota Shine, the best way I've seen to fix faded paint. Go to dakotashine.com or call 888-996-7801.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us as we kick off this new week, Monday morning, AgriTalk.
I'm glad that you are with us, Chip. I think I can speak for everyone involved. We're so glad to have you back. We're so glad.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Last week out on crop tour, as I was making my way from Sioux Falls to Grand Island to Nebraska City and then up to Spencer and over to Rochester, that last day being through southern Minnesota, the whole entire way I kept saying, what? We need rain. We need rain. This bean crop, there's a decent one here. It's not a great one, but it's a decent one. But to hold on to the potential that we've got, we need rain. Well, Thursday night, some of those showers slipped through there. Thursday night, very early Friday morning, some of the showers slipped through there. There was another round on Friday night into Saturday. And then again last night, we had some more rains that made their way through some of the what was the driest areas of the Corn Belt. And there's going to be some benefit that will come from that. I don't think there's any question about it. Let's find out what's going on. Are we in the middle of a pattern chain here in the change here in the U.S. weather? We've got Michael Clark from BAMWX.com. Michael, thanks so much for being part of the show this morning. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, no problem at all. No problem.
Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Okay, so are we into some kind of a pattern change? You know, I remember, even 6 weeks ago, you were talking about the second half of August getting a little wetter for us. Well, it's here.
Yeah, I think we are, Chip. I mean, we've had just the last 72 hours, there's been great rains across central northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, the Dakotas. There's been rain. And I think we are. I think over the next 2 weeks, not only does it get cooler in the northern plains, but it's wet. I mean, it's a totally different pattern. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's much welcomed up there. I definitely think we're looking at just a whole different ball game up there right now going forward.
Yeah. In some ways, that's great news. We can slow down the very end of the growing season for the corn crop. A lot of it's already in the dent stage, early dent to mid dent. You can see the milk line moving. So I don't know if we can do a whole lot to help build a yield, but we can stall out any further yield declines. And I feel like we've got enough moisture to make that happen now, Michael.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with you on that. The interesting part to this, Chip, is the Eastern Corn Belt. I will tell you that I am here in central Indiana. This is the driest stretch of weather that we have on record. We have never been this dry this long in central Indiana. So it's going to completely kind of flip-flop here. We're going to be in the mid-90s here all week with no rain. And so, we could really use a drink here, and especially across central Indiana. So it's interesting to kind of see the pattern flipping here.
You know, while that has been developing in central Indiana around the Indianapolis area, hasn't the northern area gotten plenty of rain?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like this bubble. that has developed, you know, across the northern, you know, two or three county rows have been great, but we need a drink for sure. So, and I think, you know, like I said, coming up this is going to be the hottest week coming up that we've had all summer for basically the Eastern Corn Belt.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at that and we're expected to have plenty of heat out here in the central and western Corn Belt as well. Right.
Yeah, except they'll get rain, so that'll be nice. we don't get the rain, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely, that will be nice. We need it. I want to back up just a little bit to a couple of things that happened over the weekend, and I want to start with Henry. It may just be me and the the weather that I was watching over the weekend leading up to it, Michael. But it doesn't seem like Henry was the intense event that many feared it might be. Why?
Yeah, it wasn't. A lot of the model data really started to waffle and wobble and take it west inland. And then towards the end there, it never could really get organized. It never really got its act together, and it ended up kind of staying actually a little bit further east than anticipated. So being that the how rare it is that storms take that path, it's difficult to know how the modeling is going to handle situations like that. And I think looking back to what Superstorm Sandy was years ago, I think it was better to be safe than sorry in that situation. But it definitely, thankfully, it did not, you know, the heaviest rains come across northern New Jersey of over 8 inches of rain, but thankfully it did not do what they thought it could have done for a minute. So
right.
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything in this pattern change that caused that, or is that another symptom of the pattern change?
Yeah, I think overall it's probably another you know symptom of the pattern change with an you know expanding upper level you know low pressure system that kind of evolved a little differently. But we're going to again we're going to kind of shift this whole thing and kind of turn it around. I mean, we're going to get warm where it's been cool and get cool where it's been warm. So everything's changing right now.
Okay. All right. What was that? What happened in Tennessee?
Oh man, that was crazy. You know, we got under this very rare extreme. This is what we call training. And training in thunderstorm cells is where the same area just kind of keeps you keep feeding in moisture and thunderstorm development over the same spot over and over and over for an extended period of time. This was unlike anything I've seen in a really long time. When you start getting 17 to 19 inches of rainfall in a localized area. But it all came from just a thunderstorm cluster area that just kept training over the same spot for multiple hours. And I believe, Chip, unfortunately, there were even some fatalities that came from that event. So that was a very unfortunate flooding event, the historic flooding event there.
Yeah, absolutely. Washing houses right down the street and cars and as you said, unfortunately, the loss of life and the people that are still missing, it's just such a sad happening down there. And when that training happens, like you're talking about, boy, if you get caught underneath it, it's really tough to sit there and take that.
So. It is, and I'll tell you one thing, Chip, a lot of things I don't think people really fully understand is the technology and weather modeling just isn't that good yet. We just can't, nothing really saw that. And unfortunately, you get some of those events that happen, and sometimes you can't, no matter what you do, some of those things are unpredictable. They really are.
Right. Okay, are you sitting in the area of greatest concern right now over there in central Indiana, Michael? Is that the spot that you're most concerned about for the next couple of weeks?
I am, yeah. Just the eastern, you know, Illinois, Indiana, portions of kind of western Ohio, I think, for sure. Some of our September, you know, we looked out into September today. I think overall for September, the month is the eastern Corn Belt is warmer and drier overall. And it's cooler and wetter to the north. So I think September as a whole, we do see kind of a legitimate shift here in the pattern. And I'm worried for the folks here. Granted, not as large of an area out there in the plains, but we still have a lot of crop here that really needs some rain. So,
okay, I gotta ask this question, Michael. With that pattern change that's happening out in the northwest, the western areas, I mean, it'd be rubbing salt in their wounds to start talking about a wet harvest season, but is that a risk now?
It is. Out there, it is, and it is. I'm telling you, I know. I hate to say that. Even our La Nina analogs into October, because we're going into a strong La Nina. We've got to face the facts there. But the September and October La Nina analogs in the northern plains are very wet, for sure. They're warmer in October. It's not a big of a cooler signal, but there's still a wet signal there. where they've been dry. So now you factor in kind of a different concern for those folks.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we've stabilized the yield potential in the western and northern production areas. Hopefully there is enough moisture in the eastern belt for those really good Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois crops to hold on to the yield that we saw last week out on Crop Tour. And, Michael, you know, every now and then I got to say this. I hope you're wrong on that call for a wet harvest up in the Northwest.
I hope we are too, buddy. I really do.
Absolutely. Michael, thank you, my friend. As I said at the start, we really appreciate everything you do and what you're doing for AgriTalk. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Chip.
All right. That's Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. We got Wiesmeyer up next on AgriTalk.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, there's been quite a bit of movement on both sides unchanged in this corn market already.
Yeah, definitely, Chip. I tried to work higher on a technical bounce early on. That buyer interest dried up, and now we're about a nickel lower. And importantly, we've dropped below last Friday's lows and some key technical support levels. So we'll have to see if that triggers additional seller interest. But right now, the corn market's under some pressure here mid-morning.
Yeah, a couple of fundamental things that the market is having to deal with on corn side of things. And the soybean oil side of things, too. The RFS and the RVOs and the confusion over what's going on there, right?
Yeah, an extreme amount of confusion caused the big sell-off last Friday, and I think that the markets don't like uncertainty, and so the uncertainty on that situation obviously is causing some issues here in the market, at least
right.
Some sell-offs, and funds are getting out of length.
Right, right. You know, I don't think it took the markets too long to trade the pro farmer crop estimates that came out on Friday, did it?
No, I think they took them pretty much in stride, part of the reason we release them on 1:30 after the markets close is so that they don't, disrupt the markets during market hours. But it doesn't seem like it appeared to take
right.
too long.
Right, big moves in the cattle complex.
Oh, just really big move. So the feeder cattle, they were kind of apprehensive early on and just slightly firmer tone. But, once corn turned lower, feeder shot higher, live cattle went with them, and it's even attracting some buyer interest in the hog market now here mid-morning.
Excellent. Good work. Thanks, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Davis, let's go ahead and bring Jim Wiesmeyer in here, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. I got to get caught up on what's going on. How you doing this morning, Jim?
Pretty good, Chip.
Good, good, good. Now, it's our second conversation that we're having this morning. We did DC signal to noise earlier today, and we're going to talk about some of the same issues that we talked about on that, but I want to get the AgriTalk listeners up to speed on one thing in particular, Jim. And I'm going to introduce it basically the same way as I did this morning. This is a process around the renewable volume obligations. This is a process that we have witnessed so many times that it's routine, Jim, but some people have lost track of what that routine is.
Absolutely. And that's why I took some time this morning on ProFarmer.com to just go through the bullet points, Chip. But now we're trading rumors of the proposed rule before it even gets over to the Office of Management and Budget. The wire services call it the White House, but it's really OMB. And then Reuters got it all mixed up because first they said, different amounts as far as a higher, lower, things like that. Then they came out with an update saying 2022, which is the most important one, will likely be higher than 2021 and 2020. And that's the key. And that's why I think initially soybean oil was higher today after being hit Friday on the initial reports, Chip.
And I think in general, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Jim, and feel free to do it because I could be. But on the 2021, I mean, there's not a lot that we can do about that anyway.
You're right. It's a bit
that's
late,
water under
Jim.
The bridge.
Absolutely. And this is why it's amazing me to sometimes that the trade reaction, and it could affect RINs if the 2021 is lower. So, and see, this is why it's market sensitive, even in the equity market. And I think EPA should be very careful when they do brief the lawmakers and staff, because it can affect the RIN market, and it does affect the RIN market,
right?
Because it could lead to less need for RINs initially.
Right. But it's not going to have much impact on the amount of corn we use to make ethanol.
Absolutely not. This is really a 2022 issue.
Yes.
And if the reports are correct, that it's going to be higher than 2021 and 2020, we need to see the actual amount. But that's not a negative at all.
Right. Now, we've talked in the past about how USDA... And I know I'm changing agencies on you here about how USDA has got kind of gets behind on some of the happenings out in the marketplace. EPA is at risk of getting behind on what's happening with renewable diesel here, Jim.
Relative what's going on in the industry, especially renewable diesel, right?
Yes. Exactly.
And that's going to become more important, Chip, as when we do get this formal proposed rule and then the final, because it could still change market. It could still change, but we should get the final rule by November 30th. They will also include how they're going to set the RVOs or the mandates beginning in 2023. And that's where they better be careful, knowing the changes in the industry, Chip.
Right. Yes, exactly. And you should not count your chicks before they're hatched. I get that. But it feels like the horse is, boy, I'm all over the metaphors this morning. Sorry, everybody. but it feels like, it feels like this thing has so much momentum behind it already that the RVOs aren't really going to influence. When you've got oil companies like Marathon making deals with crushers like ADM to put a new crush plant up in North Dakota so that they can have access to a feedstock to make renewable diesel, then this thing is, the momentum is gone, dude.
Even a bureaucrat should see this, Chip. The trend is your friend, as we say, to get trite. But still, you know, this is very similar to expanding the meat processing capacity with $500 million and $150 million for the mom and pop operations. It's going to happen at the time you get this increased capacity, which is needed, by the way. But at the time when we're going to be at the low end of cattle inventory. It's very similar in the market aspects of it.
I am with you, man. I am with you on this 100%. Okay, let's switch gears. Get us over to the infrastructure bill, the plan, the vote. What's the timeline look like now?
Well, we're going to know tonight, late tonight, it could be, whether or not there'll actually be a vote on the rule, Chip, because it's a procedural vote. But if Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, she may not even have the votes for that because of the fisticuffs going on in her own party. This is a Democrat play between the centrist Democrats and the far left Democrats. Some people call them progressives. And until she can dance around that, she may not have the vote. So if a vote is postponed tonight, if you see that on the wires, that means it's not over, but it means that she has to knock some more heads together.
Okay. How is what is happening in Afghanistan, could it influence the timing of the vote?
I don't think so on that one. I mean, they could maybe use it for cover. Where I think the Afghanistan issue will happen is later this year, if and when. I think they're very likely, the Democrats are already saying there'll be congressional hearings after we get the evacuees out to see what went right and what went wrong. A lot went wrong. That will tie into probably at the same time that we're going to get the actual votes on infrastructure packages, Chip, in both the House and the Senate. So it could muck it up sometime this fall.
Okay. So with that in mind, is there any potential that we could see a vote on the physical infrastructure bill before the human infrastructure package is put together and finalized?
I never rule out anything because Pelosi is pretty adept if you look at her history, but it would have to be a date certain for the far left people because they want the votes to happen at the same time. But she could work a deal with both camps on a specific date, but we'll have to see if there's trust involved at both ends of that, Jeff.
Okay. All right. We have
bottom line, infrastructure to me is coming. I cannot imagine the Democrats are going to go zero sum game because they'll have to blame themselves. They can't blame Republicans for this, or they can't even blame Trump. Of course, they'll try.
Right. Yes. Yes, absolutely. We're still waiting on some final rules on how some of the CFAP payments are going to be rolled out and everything. What's the status there?
They're ready to roll. I think they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's, Chip. And I was told sometime in September, hopefully this year, but I think they're ready to go. And that's on the plus up payments and a number of other issues for contract hog producers, et cetera. And these are carryovers from the December announcement by USDA in the waning days of the Trump administration and some early on announcement from the early days of the Biden administration.
Okay. All right. What else are you watching this week, Jim?
Oh, this week, well, it's the Afghanistan that continues. Yeah. I mean, we have daily briefings, the White House now is, and they should, and then we'll have to see, hopefully, if that can go turn around to be positive, but boy, it does not look good right now. But I'm watching full-time on this, how the procedural vote, plays out this week, Chip, and if it doesn't happen, as I said tonight, then the focus will be on how many days will it take for her to get the actual vote, because again, I'm going to go on history. She has been a very powerful House Speaker, and she usually gets what she wants. So I'm going to go under the outlook. It's just a matter of time before they work a deal out amongst themselves.
Yeah, it feels like there is. Are we going to see anything that before the next recess that will really clue us in on how things are going to play out into the fall?
Yeah, I don't think Pelosi will want to have the House leave. They want to get out and go back to their recess and come back early to mid, September. But I think knowing Pelosi, she'll keep them in until, they can work up a vote for the resolution. Because if you don't have the budget resolution cleared off, a lot of work can happen, Chip, under that $3.5 trillion package. Some work can be done, but a lot can't. So she knows this. So the longer you crunch it up in time gets into your, like they have to do something about the debt limit. They also have to get a budget for fiscal year 2022 that starts October 1. So they must have, bills are starting to add up, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You were talking about soybean oil and the impact that the confusion coming out over the RVOs has had on the market. Well, we've got October bean oil is up 192 points, and it's about mid-range of Friday's price decline.
Yeah. see, they're reasoning what they're coming to the reasoning that we're discussing. Also, you've said this on AgriTalk for a while. I think there's a coming realization that biofuels in general are going to be very friendly climate change aspects. In fact,
absolutely.
I tell corn growers they ought to rebrand their product to a plant-based fuel. You're hearing more of that now, Chip.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Farm Journal and the National FFA Foundation present the second annual Farm On Benefit Concert, featuring country music star Easton Corbin on September 20th at 7 Central on RFD TV. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here. I think I speak for Chip Flory when I say we're so glad that you've tuned in this morning on your favorite agricultural radio station or your preferred digital device. It's going to be a great week, Chip. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I want to go back to something that Jim talked about. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Washington OG. And I have a suggestion. Rebrand ethanol.
Yeah.
What if
plant-based fuel?
What if we called it motor milk? Could that work? Because I mean, you got oat milk, you got almond milk.
Yeah, but that would suggest that we are making milk out of motors, not providing the sustenance for that motor to run.
Well, it's the milk of the oil fields, right?
Okay. Right? All right.
The milk of the cornfield, because there isn't a corn milk already, and that really doesn't have a ring to it. Like, you can't, you know, corn milk.
Well,
nobody wants that.
Like oat milk.
I know.
Saying nothing against the oat producers or the almond producers.
Of course not.
But none of that sounds right to me. I mean.
No. But then again, oat juice. Like, what? Do oats even have juice? Motor milk. I like motor milk a lot. I think it might catch on.
If you squeeze them hard enough, they might. Yeah. Yeah, rebrand ethanol. What a concept here.
I like it, though.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. I mean, it...
We've asked the question for so many years. You and I have both asked Jeff Cooper, for example, specifically, when are the greenies gonna cue into the idea?
Get it.
Yeah. This is something that can help your cause and our cause at the same time. Everybody's happy with this. It happens so rarely.
Right. So in other words, by rebranding, what you could do is give the ethanol naysayers an opportunity to change positions without having to admit that they were wrong on ethanol, because this new thing, this motor milk, is something that's, well, it's not quite the same as what ethanol was, and it's better because, and it's and it is going to help the environment. And I get it. You can help that can happen, or you could just you know, there have been some closely followed opponents of biofuels over the years that have changed their position on ethanol because they are working with updated studies and analysis and efficiencies that are out there in the marketplace, so that they can say, listen, I was right before, but the industry has changed so much that look at where we're at now. We do gain efficiencies from ethanol, and we do have get the environmental benefits from ethanol that the industry is talking about because of those increases in efficiencies. So I don't know. It's an interesting concept.
It sure is. We'll revisit that sometime. Speaking of corn demand, which we weren't really, but we weren't not speaking of corn demand.
Right.
I see Mexico's stepped in to buy some corn.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
And it was not an insignificant sale that was announced this morning. 458,600 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the 2021-22 marketing year. So the marketing year that's going to start on September 1. We always talk about Mexico being a value buyer. Now, they are a consistent buyer as well because they have a need. Some of that need, I was beginning to question, because of some of the artificial barriers that were being thrown up against U.S. corn earlier this year. That being the, do we really want to let in GMOs? Do we really want to putting some question on the technology that is at work in the seed and so on. So those barriers were starting to show up, but then we get a day like we had on Friday, and you know, maybe they bought it on Thursday, but maybe they bought it on Friday, which would be good for Mexico because they saw that big down day and said, you know what, we've got some value back in this market. Let's go ahead and step in and get something done. I think it's good news.
Yep. I like it a lot. Fresh on the heels of Crop Tour, we've got Farm Journal Field Days.
Yeah, absolutely. Going on right now. If you haven't gone to Farm Journal Field Days to get registered for it, get over there, get that done. Take part in some of the live events that are happening, the live streaming events, but you can also be part of the check out the tent and get in there and look at all the topics and the information that is available to you. And tomorrow morning, listen to this, at 8 o'clock Central Time, Missy Bauer kicks it off. She's going to be talking about some of the things that are happening in the growing season. Paul Niefer, there's another familiar voice name and voice to AgriTalk listeners with what Biden's tax plan means to you. Do you really feel like you should miss that? Yeah, right. No, you shouldn't miss that. Get this headline or this title for a session.
All right.
Dollars or doubts? Questions to ask before jumping into the carbon market. Of course you want to be sitting in on that one.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Nate Burt from Trust in Food is going to be moderating that conversation. I think it's going to be really, really good. Don't forget to go to the expo. Like I said, go to the tent, check things out. And then Thursday morning, I'll remind you of this a little again, a couple of times probably. But Thursday morning, I am going to be hosting the Early Riser panel, Cut Through Grain Marketing Confusion. Dan Bossi from Ag Resource, Scott Davis from Bullpen Trading, Sherman Newland, farmer from Southern, from Southern Illinois and also a broker through Risk Management Commodities, and Ken McCauley, K&M Farms over in White Cloud, Kansas.
You got the dream team for that, baby.
All I got to do is get them started and stand back and let it happen.
Just open the chute.
Kind of like this afternoon. All right.
Good segue.
Yeah, Brian Split from AgMarket.net is going to be my guest this afternoon. Come back and visit us, 206 Central, this afternoon on AgriTalk.